Okay, we begin here on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet. Tanur Banan, Ein Ma'abrimet Hashana B'Shnei Ra'avon. You're not allowed to make a leap year during a year of famine. As Rashi explains over here, the problem is that we've run out of food, there's nothing to eat, and the only opportunity is to eat from the new grains that have come, which are limited, but that limited amount you want to get access to as fast as possible. If you make it into a leap year, then the Omer is pushed back a month, and it means that the Tvuah Chadashah you will not be able to eat until after the Omer. And that'll cause a problem in terms of eating the new grains or making them available, and then there'll be a run on the storehouses because people have nothing to eat in terms of the new stuff, and they'll have to go after the old stuff, which really doesn't exist. And for that reason, we don't want to make a leap year during Shnei Ravon. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, V'ish Bami Balshalisha, V'yevelish Helukim, Lechem Bikurim Esrim, Lechem Seorim, V'karmel B'tzikulono. This is a pasuk from Malachim Bet in the story of Elisha. We know the beginning of the parak, because the beginning of the parak deals with the Isha Shunamit and her child that Elisha promises her and then passes away and comes back to life afterwards. And then after that, there are a couple of small stories about the Bnei Nevi'im. And one of the stories is about an individual who brings food for the Bnei Nevi'im. And he says, this person came for Baal Elisha, and he brings to the Isha Lukim Lechem Bikurim, the first Lechem, Esrim Lechem Seorim. And he brought with him this barley bread. And then the Navi, or the Bnei Nevi'im, asks Elisha, how are we going to take these 20 loaves and feed 100 people? And Elisha says, don't worry about it, there'll be plenty and left over. And sure enough, that's what happens. The Gemara cites this as evidence of the fact that you can't make a leap year during a famine. Baal Shalisha was a place that was extremely fertile, and the grains and the fruits that grew in that area ripened very early. They were the earliest produce that came out in Eretz Yisrael. Vavo became, despite the fact that it's the earliest place, lo bichra elamin achad. The only thing that developed was seorim, because he's bringing them lechem seorim. Generally, seorim and lechem seorim is food for animals. It's not food for human beings. Human beings eat lechem chitim. So why was he bringing them lechem seorim? Because that was the only thing that was available. Shemo tomar chitim, if you think that they got bread and it was made out of wheat, Talmud Omar se'orim, the pasuk explicitly says that they got barley. Shemo tomar lifnei omer, maybe it was still early and it was before the omer. Talmud Omar ten la'am v'yochelu. Elisha says to him, give it to the people and they should be able to eat. Achara omer haya. That means that it was already at a time period where it was permitted to eat. That must mean post the omer. So it's already post the omer, and the only thing available is lechem se'orim. And more me'ata, you see from here, ru'uya heita utok shana shetita ber. That year was appropriate. They should have delayed the year by a month, because in that way it would allow more of the grains to ripen prior to the Omer, and it would have been a normal year where they were able to get ripened or fully mature grains from different species and not just from serim, from barley. I mean, pnei ma'lo ibra, Elisha. So then why didn't Elisha make it into a leap year and push back Nisan and allow for that to happen? Because it was a year of famine. And if he did that, he would have caused a run on the storehouses, because then the new grains wouldn't have come into circulation until a month later. So you see from here evidence of the fact that when you have a famine or a year of famine, one is not allowed to make it into a leap year, despite the fact that there was necessary. Here there was a necessity because the grains weren't ripened and they weren't mature, and it would have made sense to do it. And despite that fact, Elisha holds back and doesn't do it. Now, the Baal Yitosavot already asked questions. The Baal Yitosavot are not the only ones who asked the question. There are other Rishonim that presented. The Marsha also asked the question, but how do you know that that's what was the compelling reason that Elisha didn't make this into a leap year? And how do you know that he didn't make it into a leap year? How do you know that it wasn't a leap year? Now Rashi claims over here, Shemo tomar chitim hayu, maybe you'll say it's wheat, Shehein afilot, because they are late to mature. That is the pasuk that we find in Parshat Va'era, when it speaks about the barad. It says that the barad wipes out the seorah ki asorah aviv, because the seorah comes early, and therefore was already in its stalks, and the barad destroyed it. But the chita afilot heina. The chita, the wheat, is a late developer, and therefore the barad didn't affect it because it wasn't hardened in its stalks yet. So we know that the natural progression is that seorim come first, and then chitim. And so the evidence here of the fact that it was a very early year and he didn't make it as a leap year comes from the fact that there was only Se'orim available. And that's what the Baya Tosafot over here say, that since Baal Shelisha was this very fertile area, place where the vegetation and the fruits and the grains all ripened very early, then had they postponed it another month, it would have been impossible that they wouldn't have had other grains there or other items besides Se'orim that had developed. But by the mere fact that they come only with Se'orim is indicative of the fact that it couldn't have been a leap year. Because had it been a leap year, they would have found at least something else. And obviously, Baal Shalisha is not only known for its early ripening or maturity of its grains, but also for the early ripening of its fruits. And so that means that it was something that was ra'oi. We had enough reasons. We had the tevuah and the fruits where we're backed up, and that we should have made it into a leap year. And yet Elisha holds back and doesn't make it into a leap year. So that's one set of questions, is how do you even know that he didn't make it into a leap year? And that's, Baliyat Tosafot suggests, because of the fact that he only had Se'orim and nothing else there, that shows or is indicative of the fact that he didn't make it into a leap year. The second question that's posed by many of the Mefarshim is, how do you know that that was the reason he didn't make it into a leap year? We're going to see in today's daf that there are other reasons or mitigating factors that won't let you make it into a leap year, including Shvi'it, Motzei Shvi'it. How do you know it wasn't one of those special years? And that's why Elisha didn't make it into a leap year. And so that's a little harder to answer as to how we know for sure that the compelling reason that Elisha did not make it into a leap year is because of the fact that it was a famine, and not because it was one of these other years in which it's problematic to create a leap year. The Rishonim and Achronim have innovative ways to show that it was not one of those other years, either because of the Din of Bikurim, or because of other pieces of evidence in the Pasuk, but they're all interesting and intricate, but just know that that is definitely a question here. I would suggest that most of this is Misora, that Chazal had a Misora, that was the case, that Elisha didn't make the year into a leap year because of the famine, and that is the central theme of that area of the Perek, which is the famine that is taking place and the lack of food available to the individuals, and so there. Or it makes sense to say that that was the reason or the impetus for him not making it into a leap year. Right? Tanu Rabanan, Ein Ma'abrim Et Hashana Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. You're not allowed to make it into a leap year prior to Rosh Hashanah. V'im Mibrua, Ein Me'uberet. And if they do make it into a leap year prior to Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't work. Aval Mipnei Atachak, if they're in difficult circumstances, Ma'abrim Et Achar Rosh Hashanah Miyad. You can declare it a leap year immediately after Rosh Hashanah. Vafo Bikain in Ma'abrim El Adar. But despite the fact, you're only allowed to make the month of Adar into a leap year. So here we have a number of factors that are being discussed. The first of which is the ability to make a year into a leap year only exists basically for a 6-month period. And that is from Rosh Hashanah until Adar. And that is the period of time in which Beit Din can declare it a leap year. Post Adar, they can't do it because Adar is the leap year. And also, we're suggesting over here that prior to Rosh Hashanah, they can't do it. As Rashi notes over here, because Yesh Shechecha B'Davar, they do it too early in the year, then people forget about it. Kodem She'Giyah Mezalzalei B'Chametz. And they're going to forget about it, think that Pesach was early, and then they're going to figure out that it was a leap year and that we don't need to eat, we can't eat Chametz. It's going to become a whole balagan. And then people are going to start being Mezalzal in the mitzvah of Chametz and Matzah, because of the fact that they're changing around the calendar, because they forgot about what had happened earlier in the year. So for that reason, Rashi claims that they wait until after Rosh Hashanah in order to do it. I would suggest that there's another compelling reason, which is that you need to be in the year which you are intercalating. You can't intercalate in a different year, which we'll see in a second in the Gemara, and that's the reason that you need to wait till after Rosh Hashanah to do it, because it has to be relevant to that year. And that's what we do, by the way, in a leap year, we add in Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, where we add in certain brachot that we're looking for, when there's a leap year, we add in the L'chaparat Pasha, in order to have 13 items over there. And we only do it from Rosh Hashanah until that leap year, until the Adar, when it happens Adar Sheni, from Nisan until Rosh Hashanah, even if the subsequent year will be a leap year, or even if the previous year was a leap year, we don't put in L'chaparat Pasha. So the only time we put it in is when it's relevant to the leap year, or it's indicative of the upcoming leap year. And that's from Rosh Hashanah until Adar. So that's the first thing. You can't be Ma'aber the Shana Elef during that 6-month period. The second thing is, if you do it before then, it fails. The third thing is that the month that is the Iber month, the extra month that's added to the calendar, is Adar Sheni. And the question is, why? Why is that considered to be the leap month? And why do we not do it on a different month? So the Balei HaTosafot over here suggests, V'chol shar chodeshim ein ma'abrim, we don't do it in any of the other months, Tichtiv, or the chodesh Nemasar hu chodesh Adar. Because in Megillat Esther, it calls Adar the 12th month. But it can only be the 12th month if there's no month that intervenes and causes it to be delayed or backed up. In essence, what we're doing is we're keeping all the months and their numbers intact. And the only way to do that is to put the extra month at the end, and that is Adar Sheni. So that's the reason, according to the Balei HaTosafot. There are others who compare it to Rosh Chodesh. Just like by Rosh Chodesh, when we make it into an Iber Chodesh, we do it by adding in a day to the month at the end of the month. So to here, when we want to make an Iber Shana, we add in a month at the end of the year. The last thing is that the adjustment to the calendar is done to deal with Nisan. Nisan, which is the beginning of the year, and that has to be the Chodesh HaAviv. And since we're trying to adjust to make sure that Pesach falls out in the Aviv, then it's only appropriate that you do it immediately before, so the adjustment is right before the solution that you're trying to create, which is Chodesh Aviv. So those are three different reasons given as to why we use Adar as the month that is considered to be the extra month that we add on, and why we don't use any other month. Again, the Balei HaTosafot would say to keep the calendar intact and just add on the end. Others compare it to Rosh Chodesh, that we add on an extra day in a 30-day month at the end. And the other possibility is that we're adjusting Nisan, so we do it immediately before. There's another reason, which I'll get to later, that the Marsha does, based on the Agadatha we're about to see now, and we'll come back and discuss that reason. Marsha says, Hini, is it really true that you can't intercalate the calendar before Rosh Hashanah? Vashachu le Rava, they sent to Rava Zug Bamireket. There is a Zug, a pair of Rabbanon, that came from Reket. Reket is synonymous with Tveria. So they're coming from Tveria, v'tafsol nesher, and they were caught by the eagle. Rashi claims over here, tafsol nesher is chel parasim. They were caught by the Persian army, which would be interesting only because that general, the Persian army, did not make it that far west, especially if it was all the way to Tveria, but we're going to see here that they're traveling towards Rova, so they are moving east in order to get to Rova, so it is possible that late in their journey, they were caught by the Persian troops. But seems less likely because of the way the message is worded. If you look in the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rabbeinu Chananel offers two other alternatives. Some say that it was the king that held them back because the king is compared to an eagle. Based on the Nevuot and the images of the Nesher being compared to a king coming to attack Bnei Israel. So there we see that the Nesher and the king are synonymous. That the rain held them back, that peels off or comes off of the sky. So here you have three opinions. One is that they are the Persian troops that stopped them. Rabbeinu Chananel brings that it was the king that stopped them, or the possibility that the rain delayed their journey. The most likely explanation is Nesher is associated with the Roman army. The Roman army's symbol was a Nesher. And that would make sense that they were stopped by the Nesher would be the Roman troops had stopped them. Ubi Adam Dvarim Anasim Biluz. And in their hands were things that were done in Luz. Manihu. What is that that's done in Luz? It's Tchelet. It was the source of Tchelet. They were carrying Tchelet or they were carrying Tzitzit. Zchut Arachamim Uzbuchutam Yatsu B'Shalom. Because of Akadosh Baruch Hu's great mercy and their merits, they escaped. Or they came out unscathed. They were able to leave or escape the capture of the troops. And the descendants of Nachshon, who was a Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, wanted to establish an extra month in the year. They wanted to make it into an Hebrew year. And this Adomi did not allow them, which was, this was during the Roman decrees. And the Romans forbade them from engaging in intercalating the calendar or doing anything that had to do with Jewish life. And so the Romans wouldn't allow them to meet in order to intercalate the calendar or to announce the intercalation of the calendar. Aval Balei HaSukkot Nesfu, despite the decree against this, they still got together. They successfully came to the calculation decision that they should make the subsequent year a leap year. But they did it in the month that Aaron died. That's last week's Parsha. In last week's Parsha, it says that Aaron dies בחודש החמישי באחד החודש. In the fifth month, on Rosh Chodesh, which is Rosh Chodesh Av. Aaron passes away on Rosh Chodesh Av. I always say over that it's only appropriate, and we should really take to heart the fact that Aaron HaKohen died on Rosh Chodesh Av. And we know that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sifinat Chinam. And the Mishnah Navot tells us that Aaron HaKohen was Ovev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, and we're carved on the Torah and Ovev Kol HaBriot. And so therefore, Aaron who dies on Rosh Chodesh Av is a symbol of the problem of the time. That the Ohev Shalom and Rodev Shalom passes on Rosh Chodesh Av is what opens up the problem of Sinat Chinam. And therefore, we have to take to heart that Aaron died, or his yard site is on Rosh Chodesh Av, and try to rectify the Sinat Chinam and being more like Aaron HaKohen. So they had calculated and put the leap year in place in Av. So this goes against what we just said before, which is that you're not allowed to intercalate the calendar before Rosh Hashanah. Yet over here, they're indicating that they met in Av, and they already established that it would be in Ibur Shana the following year. My answer is, Chashuvei Mechashev, Gluyei Lo Migalu. They calculated, they worked out that the next year would need to be a leap year, but they did not reveal it. They did not announce it until later. So they are allowed to do the calculations. They're allowed to do the work to determine whether the following year should be a leap year, but they cannot announce it or they cannot declare it to the people until after Rosh Hashanah. And so that's how they reconcile with this. And obviously over here, it was important for them to meet when they could meet because they were under the decrees of the Romans and it was very risky. And so they managed to sneak it under the Romans' noses and get it done in the month of Av, and then they were able to declare it later without having to meet again. So my mashma, d'hai nitziv, lishna diarchuhu. How do you know that that language of nitziv, which was hinted to in this whole mashal, they're sending this secret message to Rova that they were going to make the next year a leap year, and they send it in this cryptic manner in order that they don't get caught or it doesn't become known. And so they send it with the way that they express Nitziv Echad, which is an extra month. How do you know that that word Nitziv means another month? Dichtiv. Shlomo, 12 Nitzivim Malkol Yisrael. Shlomo has these 12 individuals who are representatives of Klal Yisrael. The Kukulu et Melech ved Beito Chodesh B'Shana. And they were in charge of each month of the year. It was basically a taxation by which Shlomo HaMelech had groups of individuals who took care of the needs of the king and his family and all of the needs of the government during one month a year. And that taxation was led by specific individuals. And each individual was a netziv. And each netziv was given a month during the year. V'aktiv u'netziv echad asher ba'aretz. Wait a minute, it also says that there's one netziv. Over there, yeah, there were 12, but there's another time when it says one. So how do you reconcile the one with the 12? Or how do you suggest that netziv means a month when you only have one of them? So Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman argue about how to reconcile this. Chadamar echad mimuneo kulam. He was the overseer over all the other 12. So he was the master tax individual. And the other 12 were in charge of the monthly taxation and running their groups during that month. Chadamar keneged chodesh ibor. That they had an extra individual to fill in when there were 13 months during the year. When it's a 13-month year, they needed an extra netziv in order to run that 13th month. So that's the little mamar musgar. The question that derived from this was on the Braita that suggests that you can't make it into an Ibur year before Rosh Hashanah. And we have the story with Rava where they seem to have done it beforehand. And the Gemara answered that they did the calculation beforehand, but they only made it into a leap year or announced that it was a leap year after Rosh Hashanah. And that is permissible. Now the question with regards to the Mashal itself, the Marsha here has an unbelievable explanation of the Mashal. It's pretty lengthy, but I will give you some of the highlights that he mentions over here because I think they are very interesting. He asks numerous questions on the Mashal and then goes on to answer them. And I'll read to you a little bit of what he says over here. He says, why does it say Zug? Ki Yisrael nimshalu the Zug Yonim. Israel are compared to a pair of doves. Shein nizkakim rat debat zugan. Because they are faithful and monogamous with their mate, just like Bnei Israel are that way with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ve'dome malchut Yishmael le'nesher. And he says that the Ishmaelim are compared to a nesher. Hashem rov tokef malchuto. Because of the great expanse of their kingdom or their rulership. So here you have another explanation of what Nesher is. Nesher is representing Yishmael. And now it says that they come from Reket, which is Tveria, and it's called Reket because of the Rekanim Shibcha, the empty ones amongst you, which he's referencing to the even empty ones amongst you are Malei Mitzvot Kerimon. B'shamayas Soda Ibur Hazeh. And there they had this secret of the Ibur, Ve'amar she'tafsu nefsher, that the nefsher captured these individuals, Zainu Ishmael, she'tachat yado rov kibbutz nefutzot Israel, who are under the rulership. Majority of Jews are found under Ishmael's rule. And that was true until the formation of the state of Israel, that the majority of the Jews in the world lived under the domination of Ishmael. And so he says that they had in their hands the Reim Shenebel Beluz, which is Techelet. And Techelet represents, like the Gemara Menachot tells us, Techelet Domeh Yam, Yam Domeh, like Shamayim, Shamayim Domeh Lekisei HaKavod, so on and so forth. It reminds us, or connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also reminds us of the Kisei Shalem. And the Kisei HaKavod will only be whole, is Mana Mashiach, when it comes in the future, when Mashiach comes about. And Mashiach is going to be a descendant of Yehuda. Here's where the Marsha does something which I think is brilliant in his explanation of this, which is, he speaks about here the two different adversaries of Klal Yisrael, which are Ishmael and Esav. The Nesher represents Ishmael, and Esav is represented by Edomi over here. And the defeat of those two individuals comes from what is being put together over here. And the first is the Tchelet, which means that the Kisei HaKavod, that Hashem's Kisei will once again be Shalem. And that will happen when there is Amusei Boten, there is a descendant of Yehuda that comes, which is Melech HaMashiach. And he will be able to then defeat the enemies of Israel. But we also know that, based on the Haftorah that we read, that when it comes to the defeat of Esav, you need a descendant of Yosef. Because it says there that Ki Beit Yaakov Yada Esh, Ubeit Yosef Elav Ah, Ubeit Esav LeKash. Yosef is the one who can defeat Esav. And Yosef's symbol is the dog. Hamalach HaGoati Mikora Yivarech Etanayim V'Yidgu Larov Bekerev Aretz. And which month of the zodiac has the symbol of the dog? That's Adar. And so Adar is the month that we make into the leap month, which is that we add on an extra month to Adar. We double the month of Adar, which represents Yosef. And here the Mashiach explains that Ishmael has 12 Nisi'im, and Klal Yisrael had 12 Shvatim, but then Yosef is divided into two, Ephraim and Menasheh, and then we end up with 13 Shvatim, which are able then to defeat the 12 of Ishmael. And that comes about because Yosef, which is the dog, is doubled. And that's why the Marsha says that Adar was picked as the month to double, because that represents Yosef. And it's that adding of Yosef for the success of Mashiach ben Yosef, which will allow us to defeat Esav, and also overcome Ishmael, who only has 12 Nisim, and we have 13. And those 13 represent the bracha of the Bechorah that was taken from Esav, given to Yaakov, and then Yaakov passes that to Yosef to get the bracha of the double portion. All right, the Marsha has a lot more detail about that, but it's a nice or a beautiful way to put together the Agadot over here, including an explanation as to why Adar was picked as the month to double, because it is the mazal of the dog, which represents Yosef. And I'd also say that in general, it's an auspicious month for the Jews. So if you were to pick a month, you want it to double during the year, why wouldn't you pick the month, Adar, which is Mishnichnas V'Adar, Marbim B'Simcha, it would be the month that you would choose to double out of all the months of the year. Tanur Rabbanan, Im Marbim Et Hashana, Lo Mishana L'Chaverta. One is not allowed to intercalate the year from one year to the next. So now Rashi explains over here, that means that you can't sit in this year and say that next year will need to be a leap year, or things are going to be problematic in the next year, therefore we're going to make this year a leap year in order to solve the problems for the next year. You have to deal with each year on its own, and you can't use the decision about this year based on what you think is going to be in the next year. That's the way Rashi learns about Mishana L'Chaverta. You can look in the Balei Tosafot to reject that explanation. He says, Ve'en Lashon Mashmaken. He says, that's not what the language sounds like. What it says is that you're not allowed to calculate or do the calculations to determine whether it is right to make the next year into a leap year before you enter into that year. And that will be then explained by the case that we brought before. Why would they do it in Av? Because it was a Shatat Chak. So even though normally we would not allow the calculation of the subsequent year to be done in the previous year, nevertheless, in that case of Shatat Chak, where they didn't think they were going to be able to meet again, or there was a risk they couldn't meet again, they therefore did the calculation then, and then only afterwards did they put it into effect in the following year, once they had made the calculation earlier. But in a normal circumstance, we wouldn't even allow you to make the calculation in the previous year. You'd have to wait to the year in which you want to make it a leap year to do the calculation. Below shalosh shanim zo achar zo. And you're also not allowed to make 3 years in a row into leap years. Rashi says over here, the reason would be is that if you did that, by the third year, Nisan would end up in the kites, would end up in the summertime. I mean, you would cause such a pushback in the calendar by adding three leap years in a row, where you're trying to make up for a deficit of 11 days between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar, and over 3 years, that adds up to 30 days. Meantime, if you make 3 years in a row, leap years, you're going to end up with adding 90 days to the calendar. So that means that Nisan is going to be 60 days later than it normally would be, and then instead of falling out in March and April, it will fall out in May or June. So it'd be obvious that it's problematic, and so that doesn't make any sense to put three leap years in a row into the calendar. And so there, the Braita says you're not allowed to do that. Then, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Maseh b'Rabbi Akiva, she'achavush b'Beit Asurim. There was an incident when Rabbi Akiva was incarcerated. We know there's stories in Brachot also about this. He's incarcerated, obviously, for teaching Torah b'Rabim. And during that time of his incarceration, his Talmidim meet with him or get access to him, and they learn from him, and they get Piske Halacha from him. So we have numerous stories like this before he's, in the end, executed by the Romans. And while he was incarcerated, he ended up doing that. They made 3 years in a row be Iber years. Amrulo misham raya. How can you bring a proof from there? Beitin yashvu v'kavu achat achat. Beitin sat down and put them one at a time. So now Rashi here brings two explanations to this Gemara as to what they did or what was allowed. The Braita is explicit. You can't make 3 years in a row a leap year. Rabbi Shimon brings from the story of Rabbi Akiva what seemingly is exactly that. They made 3 years in a row leap years. So in the first explanation that Rashi brings is Yashvu imo v'inu b'ibur gimel shanim v'lo ritzufot, that they looked into making leap years, but they didn't do them sequentially. They were looking into the future of the calendar, and they decided on three leap years over the next period of time. The period of time is not disclosed over here, but they were planning ahead on the calendar because they knew they were going to lose Rabbi Akiva. And since Rabbi Akiva was a key person in the Soda Ibor and be able to calculate these things, they worked with Rabbi Akiva to get at least a certain amount of future leap years calculated so that they would know what to do even after Rabbi Akiva left them. So the answer of the Gemara is that, yes, they did do 3 years, but they didn't do 3 years in a row. They established at this point certain years that were going to be leap years in the future, but not in a row. They were not sequential years. That's one Lashon, and as the Balei Tosafot say about that Lashon, it doesn't fit in so well, and it doesn't make so much sense. And therefore he favors the second Lashon that Rashi brings, which is, Lishna Achrina, Velo Gimel Shanim Zoachazo. You're not allowed to make 3 years in a row. Tanakama Nami Bahaka Asar. Tanakama would also say that's problematic. Shalo Yainu B'Ibur Shloshanim Zoachazo B'Yeshiva Achat. You're not allowed to sit down in one time and make a decision about three different years, afilu the Abram Bizmanam, even if they're not sequential. You can't in one sitting do a calculation for three different years, even if those years are not in order, not in a sequential. Now, over the next 7 years, you're going to do three leap years. You're not having in one sitting to make all the calculations for all three of those years. Then Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, what are you talking about? That's exactly what they did with Rabbi Akiva. They sat down with him and they did all the future calculations. So the answer of the Gemara is, no, that's not exactly what they did. They calculated it with Rabbi Akiva in order to have the information set up so that when it came to that year, they would sit again and then do the Chishuv again on that year. But they would already have the math and some of the background information done from the time of Rabbi Akiva. So that's what it meant there, that they wanted to spend the time with Rabbi Akiva, who had that insight and the ability to do the calculations. So he helped them with that, but not that they were making the final calculations then. It was preliminary calculations so that later on in each given year they would sit down and do the calculation. And you can see that in the Rabbeinu Chanan al Perish. Afal pi shehode Rabbi Akiva leber gimel shanim zo achar zo lo nigmar davar ela bishivat beitin b'chol shana v'shana. So even though he agreed to do it, it still only happened when they sat down in each year. Kavatim la bi'ibur. And then they established that it would be a leap year. So that's the second Lashon in Rashi, and the Balei Tosafot favor heavily that second Lashon of Rashi, because he says that if it was true according to the first Lashon of Rashi, even two leap years in a row would be problematic. Again, you're adding 60 days to the calendar when you're only losing 22 days from the difference between the lunar and solar calendars, which means that you'd push out 40 days Nisan, and that's a significant pushback in Nisan, and it would be obvious or late Nisan in that year, and therefore he says it wouldn't be three in a row, even two in a row is problematic. And therefore, it must be speaking about something else, not about putting leap years in sequentially, but rather the calculation of multiple leap years in a single sitting, which is problematic. And then Balei Tosfot say, if you do choose that explanation, then it seems to make more sense that the explanation of Shana Mechar Berita is like I said before, and not like Rashi. Not like Rashi who says you can't intercalate this year to protect or fix next year. Whereas the Balei Tosfot said you can't calculate the next year. In this year, you have to wait till the next year in order to calculate it. That's based on the fact that he thinks Rabbi Shimon would agree with that first statement of the Berita. Although the Marshal says that it seems to be problematic according to both Lashonot and not only according to the first Lashon, but at least the Baal Tosfot here favors this second Lashon of Rashi as well as his own explanation of Shana Lechaverta. And then the Rabbeinu Chananel goes on to ask, don't we have a principle in the Braita that says you're not allowed to make 3 years in a row? So Rashi either dealt with that in the first answer by saying that it wasn't in a row, or in the second answer saying that they were calculating it on 1 year for future years, but nevertheless, even if you say that we did it 1 year for future years, in the future, those future years could have been 3 in a row, and that's the way the Rabbeinu Chananel is reading it. So he says that it actually was an unusual circumstance in which there were 3 years in a row where they couldn't have an Iber year, and that's because, B'toa 8, Yudal de Machzor, it was the 14th year of the 19-year cycle, Shu Shnat Ibur, that normally would have been a leap year, but it turned out that it was a Shnat Ra'avon. It was a famine year, and therefore, velo ibrua, they didn't put in a leap year that year. In the subsequent year, which was the 15th year of the machzor, turned out it was shvit, it was shmita, and they can't make it a leap year. And then again, in the 16th year, they couldn't make it into a leap year because that was motzei shvit. So it turns out that the 14th, 15th, and 16th years did not have leap years. Now we know the basic principle is that within a 19-year cycle, you need 7 leap years. That's just from the loose math standpoint. If you take 19 years times 11 days, which is the difference between the solar and lunar calendars, you'll come out with 209 days. If you take 7 leap years during that period of time of 30 days each, you'll get 210 days. So roughly 7 leap years over a period of 19 years will cause it to even out the calendars. Again, there are other adjustments in there. I'm just giving you the loose math associated with it, including the possibility that the leap year is only 29 days. But on a loose basis, that's how we deal with it. And the symbol that you use to know which of the 7 years during the 19-year cycle are leap years is Goch Adzat, which means Gimel, the third year of the cycle, Vav is the sixth year of the cycle, Chet is the eighth year of the cycle, Adzat is the 11th year, the 14th year, 17th year, and the 19th year. So those are the 7 years within the 19-year cycle, which are Iber years, which are leap years. Now, what the Rabbeinu Chananel is suggesting is that the situation by Rabbi Akiva was that the 14th year was a famine year. Now, generally in Goch Adzat, Dalid would be a leap year. So 14th year would have been a leap year, and they skip it because of the famine. The next year is a Shemitah year, but anyway, based on the Goch Adzat, you would have skipped that year anyway. It wouldn't have been a leap year. And then the 16th year was Motzei Shvit, which would also be the year that would be skipped. But now you only have 3 years remaining in the Machzor of 19 years. And those 3 years, Zion and Tet, the 17th and 19th, are already scheduled or designated to be leap years. And now since you skipped one leap year in the 14th year, you have to make up for it in the 18th year. And now you have a scenario where you have 3 leap years in a row. The 17th, 18th, and 19th years of the cycle, because they had to skip one leap year in the middle of the 19-year cycle due to the fact that it was a Shnat Ra'avon. So because of that, the Rabbeinu Chananel claims that they actually put in place 3 leap years in a row, which literally they were going to do in a row. But then at least he solves the problem as to how is it possible that Rabbi Akiva, when he was advising them about the future leap years, which they were going to do in the subsequent years, the next 3 years, how does that reconcile with the Braita that says, you can't have 3 years in a row? Rabbeinu Chananel solved that by saying that it was this unusual circumstance where in that 19-year cycle, if they didn't make it 3 years in a row, it would not have matched up properly within the 19-year cycle because they had skipped one leap year on the 14th year of that cycle. Now the Gemara says, Tanu Banan, Ein Ma'abrim Et Hashana, Lo B'Shvi'it, Velo B'Motzei Shvi'it. You're not allowed to make it into an Hebrew year during Shvi'it and not a Motzei Shvi'it. So now, that is true bizman when they were Koveya the Chodeshim and the Iber years, but not today. We recently had this where we had a Shemitah year, and it was a leap year during the Shemitah year, which again is not permissible, but today because we run on a fixed calendar, as well as a fixed cycling of the Shemitot, and there is no Yovel. So it turns out that you will have these instances where Shemitah does fall out on leap years. In addition, you're not allowed to have it on a Motzei Shvit, and the same thing can happen again today, that you can't have a leap year on a Motzei Shvit. Eimatai Regilim Laiber, when do they normally, or when do they try to put in the Hebrew year? Erev Shvi'it, on the Erev Shvi'it. So now, the reasons are pretty obvious. During the Shemitah year, you don't want to extend the problem of the lack of growth or plantings that they have by putting an extra chodesh in the middle of Shvi'it. That'll cause problems for a number of reasons. First of all, it delays the Omer, so the Tzvuah Chadashah will not be available. Number two is it extends the Shemitah year, which is already a difficult period of time in terms of their lack of produce during that year. And then it also causes problem for Svichim, which it might push people to eat Svichim, which the Chachamim were gozer, that we don't eat Svichim or Asurim during Shvi'it. So for all those reasons, we don't want to put in an extra month into the Shemitah year. Then in the Motzei Shvi'it, you also don't want to put in a leap year because of the Chodosh problem, which is that in the eighth year, when you're allowed to regrow things, that stuff will only become mutar after the Omer in that next year. So you want to make sure that you get that Omer in as fast as possible so that the Chadash grain could become available to the people after they had nothing from the post-Shvi'it period. So during Shvi'it, they're not going to have anything in that Pesach time period. In the subsequent year, you will have grains available on Pesach, and you want to get them to the market or available to the market as fast as possible, and therefore you don't want a leap year. On Erev Shvi'it, you want to give them an extra month to work the fields and to deal with the grains and the produce, so it makes sense to add in a month in an Erev Shvi'it. So we would favor making Erev Shvi'it into a leap year, not the cases of Shvi'it and Motzei Shvi'it. Shel Beit Rabban Gamliel, the house of Rabban Gamliel, or some have a gears of Shel Beit Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, you ma'abrim b'motzei Shvi'it. They did make the Motzei Shvi'it into a leap year. Uplukta dehani Tanae, and it's a machloket similar to another machloket Tanaim. The Tanya, Ein Mevi'in Yerek Mechutz La'aretz. You're not allowed to bring in vegetables from Chutz La'aretz. V'rabotenu Hitiru. The Rabbanon say it's fine. My Benayhu. What is the difference in opinions here? Why does one Tana believe, or the Tana Kama believe, you cannot bring in or import vegetables from Chutz La'aretz? And the Rabbotenu say it's fine. Because they argue, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Hushim L'Gushiyam Ika Benayhu. We worry about whether it's going to come with dirt attached to the actual vegetable or vegetation, the fields that it was picked from, is it going to come in with some of that dirt from Chutz La'aretz? And the dirt from Chutz La'aretz is Tameh. And Rashi claims over here that it's a problem, de mitameh be'ohel. It's not only mitameh be'mago masa, but the land of Chutz La'aretz, or the Eretz Amim, is mitameh be'ohel. Now, as the Bali Tosafot point out, that's only true when you go out to the Eretz Amim, is it mitameh be'ohel. But if you bring in the dirt from Chutz La'aretz, it's not mitameh be'ohel, it's only mitameh be'mago masa. But it's still problematic in terms of the spread of Tumah. So the question is, do we worry about that spread of Tumah in Eretz Yisrael? So it depends. If you think that the vegetables that are imported normally come with dirt of Chutz La'aretz on them, then you'd worry about it. If you think generally they're washed or they're generally clean, and they're not bringing dirt from Chutz La'aretz, you wouldn't worry about it. So that same reasoning will then affect you whether you would make it into a leap year in Motzei Shvi'it. Because that would depend on whether there's available produce or there's no available produce. If you could import from Chutz La'aretz, then there's produce that's available, and you can delay. You don't have to worry about the Omer being exactly on time. You can give a little more latitude to delaying the Omer. And then if you're not allowed to import from Chutz La'aretz, and you're not allowed to eat Svichim, these are two, because they wrote the Rabbanan, which are going to have huge impact on people keeping Shvita or the Shvi'it. These two, because they wrote the Rabbanan, make it extremely difficult in the Shvi'it. You can't eat the Svichim, and now you can't import from Chutz La'aretz. So then you can't make the Motzei Shvi'it into a leap year, because that would just make it impossible for the people to survive or to deal with it, and therefore they would believe that you have to allow for the quickest possible bringing of the Omer in order that the Tzvuah Chadashah will be available to the people. So they correlate the permissibility of importing vegetables from Chutz La'aretz to the question of whether you would allow there to be a leap year in the Motzei Shvi'it or not allow it to be in Motzei Shvi'it. Now, Gemara brings, Tanur Banan, Eim Rabina Tashana Mipnei Tumah. We do not make it into a leap year because of Tum'ah, meaning that if the people are Tamei, we don't allow you, because of that Tum'ah, to push back Pesach, so that they can all become Torim and bring the Korban of Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Me'abrim. Rabbi Yehuda says we do. We use the leap year in order to protect against people being Tamei, and to allow them the time to become Tohor. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maseh B'Chizkiya Melech Yehuda. There was an incident with Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, she berta shana mipnei tumah, that he actually made it into a leap year because of the tumah. Bikesh Rachamim al Atzmo. And then he davened for himself, meaning that he davened on the fact that he did something that was seemingly illegal. Dichtiv. Because it says, and here he's quoting from Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Lamed, and I'll read you the psukim from there because it's a very interesting story. Chazal have their interpretation of the story, but it doesn't seem to be the pashtut of the story. It says, Vayishlach Yechizkiyahu al kol Yisrael Yehuda, v'gami grot katav al Ephraim u'Menasheh. So, Chizkiyahu HaMelech is at a time period where Ashur is already overrun the Aseret HaShvatim, Malchut Yisrael. Malchut Yisrael has already been put into Galut, and the only kingdom that remains now is the kingdom of Yehuda. So you would understand why he would send out letters to the people of Yehuda in order for them to come up to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban HaPesach. But not only does he send it to the people of Yehuda, Bagami Grot Katav al Ephraim u'Menasheh. He sends it out not only to Yehuda, but even to Ephraim and Asher, to the northern kingdom. Lavolu Beit Hashem Yerushalayim, Asot Pesach Lashem Elokei Yisrael. Come and bring a Korban HaPesach in Yerushalayim. The people of Ephraim and Asher are the Sherita Pleita, those that were left behind after the Galut and the destruction of the Malchut of the Aseret HaShvatim. There are those that maybe indicate through here that this was the proof that Yirmiyahu brought back the Aseret HaShvatim because of Ephraim u'Menasheh. Alright, and then it says, Vayiva'etz ha-melech v'sarav. So the melech and his ministers got together to consult or take counsel about the issue. V'kol ha-kal b'Yerushalayim and all the people found in Yerushalayim. V'asot ha-pesach b'chodesh ha-sheni. To make the Pesach in the second month. Well, the second month is not Nisan, but rather Iyar. Why did they do it in the second month? Ki lo yachlu la'asotu b'eit ahi. They couldn't do it at its right time. Kohanim were not ready. Va'am lo nesvul Yerushalayim, and the people have yet to come to Yerushalayim. Va'ishar hadavar b'nei ha-melech u'b'nei kol ha-kal. So Hizkiyahu agrees to postpone Pesach for another month. And then they send out the messengers for everybody to come to Yerushalayim in order to bring the Korban HaPesach. And then the pasuk that we're quoting over here is, then the psukim later on, it describes the whole process from sending out the messengers. It's a very interesting story, worthwhile to read. So because of the nature of it, it's very interesting how they make fun of the messengers that are coming to the northern kingdom with a message to come back to Yerushalayim and your fathers who forsook Yerushalayim and Hashem. Look what happened to them. You guys should come back with tshuva. And these messengers are met with ridicule by the people there. But eventually they're nichna and they do come to Yerushalayim. And they end up making a Korban HaPesach in Yerushalayim that was so great that they hadn't seen a Korban HaPesach like this since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. The entire Klal Yisrael comes back. Now this is the Tshuva movement that's led by Chizkiyahu HaMelech because his father Achaz had been a big idol worshipper and he had led the people astray and they were problematic both from the point of view that they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, which Chizkiyahu goes on in this story to go out and destroy, as well as the fact that they were Tmeim. And that's the puzzle that's being coined over here. Kemar Bita'am, Rabat me Ephraim u'Menashe Yisachar u'Zvulun lo hitaru ki achlu et haPesach v'lo kakatuv. Many of them never came tahor, and so they ate the Pesach not like it's written. I mean, not like the way it's written in the Torah. Ki yitpalel yichizkiyahu alehem leimor Hashem atov yichaper ba'ad. That Hashem, you should forgive them for this sin. So basically he says, look, we're trying to do our best. We're in a difficult situation. We're going to do the Pesach bituma, but God, please forgive them for what they have done because it was just too difficult given the circumstances and the history that came before this. The Rashi over here says that the Tumah that they had was Tumat Avodah Zarah from the worship of Avodah Zarah in the time of Achaz, as well as the fact that the Beit Mikdash was full of idols and Avodah Zarah. And so they not only had to cleanse the individuals who were now Tamei Tumat Avodah Zarah, those had to cleanse and re-sanctify the Mikdash. And so they needed ample time to do that. So that's what Rashi claims was the Tumah that we're dealing with. Rashi says over here, Shnit Me'u B'mei Achaz Aviv Me Avodah Zarah. Shelo Chashashu LeTorah, because they weren't interested in the Torah. V'ya Chizkiyahu Makzirim Lemutav. And Chizkiyahu was trying to bring them back with Tshuva, and he saw, or he realized that he wasn't going to be successful in doing it in a timely fashion. And he needed more time to deal with the issues of Tumah. Bali Tosfot do point out that it's a little difficult to understand that because Tumat Avodah Zarah is only a Din Derabbanan, not a Din D'Oraita. Although Tosfot does bring down from an Agadata that they found the head of a Ravna Ayibusi, who was the one who sold the area to David HaMelech that was buried under the Mizbeach. But even that's hard to understand because that's just one individual had to deal with him that became Tamei. It's not something that would have affected all of Klal Yisrael. The Noda Behuda says that that explanation of the Tosafot, that they found the head of a Rabna Yibusi, didn't necessarily affect all of Bnei Yisrael, but affected the Kohanim. And then you had a situation in which the majority of the Kohanim were Tameim, and that's what caused the problem. And that actually fits a little bit into the Psukim because the Pasuk Gimel over there says, V'yachlu lasoto beitahit ka Kohanim, loit kadashun medai, v'ham lo nesfud Yerushalayim. So it sounds like the Tumah is a problem for the Kohanim and not just for the Am or for the Am themselves. So that might be supportive of the view of the Noda Behuda. Although the Rambam just says that since they weren't so careful about the laws or precepts of the Torah, everybody was Tamei, Tumah Tameit. And the Tumah that we're discussing here is Tumah Tameit, but it's a derivative of their worship of Arizara because they weren't careful about Tumah in general. Though the Tosfot says he doesn't understand what the problem with any of these is. We're speaking here about, we're at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is a full 2 weeks until Pesach, and they had plenty of Parah Adumah available to them, because the Mishnayot tell us that the Parah Adumah from the time of Moshe lasted them a very long time in Beit Rishon, and it was plentiful, compared to the number of Parah Adumot that they had to do in Beit Sheni, because the first Parah Adumah lasted them from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu all the way until the time of Ezra. And Ezra was the one who made the second Parot Adumah, and then there's accelerated numbers of Parot Adumot that are needed during Beit Sheni. But Baal HaTosafot say here we're in Beit Rishon. There should have been plenty of Efer Parah available. And so why should it take so long to be Matar Ben Yisrael? You have a full 2 weeks to deal with it, and you only have to do it or sprinkle it on them on the third and seventh day. Plenty of time to get everybody to be Tehorim. He says, V'shema lo haya lehem adavar mezuman litayer. And from the Psukim it would seem this way. They just weren't ready to deal with it. Might have been true that they could have dealt with it, they just didn't have all the religious procedures in place and all the individuals who needed to be involved well trained because they're now coming off of a long period of time of Avodah Zarah. And so this is all new to them and this is all being relearned by them. And for that reason they just couldn't deal with it in a short period of time, even though from an objective standpoint it was sufficient time to deal with it halakhically, it still wasn't enough time for them to deal with it based on the new realities that they were facing. So that's the story that's being brought up here by Yehuda, that here Chizkiyahu is asking for forgiveness for doing it betum'ah. So now you have an interesting story here. You have two parts of the story. One is that he postpones the Pesach until the Chodesh Hasheni, because the people are Tmeim, or the Kohanim are Tmeim, and the people haven't yet to come to Yerushalayim. And then once they come to Yerushalayim, even once they reach Yerushalayim, they still remain Tmeim, and there's a problem in terms of the Korban Pesach being brought betum'ah. And Chizkiyahu then has to beg for forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the whole story, or the whole statement here is difficult. The Gemara will come back to it, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who believes that you're allowed to make it into a leap year in order to protect against Tumah. So then, what is Rabbi Yehuda bringing the example of Chizkiyahu Melech, who postponed it for Tumah, and then he had to pray for the welfare of the people that did that, or the people who waited until the second month. So now, Shimon Omer is a third opinion here, which is, Im ipnei ha-tumah ibrua mi'uberet. If they did it because of the tumah, it works. El im ipnei ma bikesh rachamim al atzmo. So then why did Chizkiyahu ask for forgiveness? She'im marbim el ha-adar. Because you're only allowed to make adar into a leap year. Hui ber nisan b'nisan. He made nisan into a leap year. From the Pashtut of Gemara, it sounds like that he added on an extra nisan. Although we're going to see later on in the Gemara today, the way that they explain it in the Gemara in Psachim, is that on the 30th day of Adar, which is a day that could either be Rosh Chodesh Nisan or the 30th of Adar, on that day he decided to make it into an Ibra year and to add on an Adar Sheni. And that's too late, as we'll see, based on the memory of Shmuel. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon p'nei she'sit Yisrael lasot a Pesach Sheni. The sin here was that he told the people to do Pesach Sheni. And truthfully, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, it seems to be the Pashtut of the Psukim, which is that they waited until the second month in order to do the Korban HaPesach, which makes it sound like they waited to Pesach Sheni and they did the Pesach on Pesach Sheni. The only problem with that explanation, which seems to fit much better into the wording of the Perek, is that later on in the Perek it says that V'yasu b'nei Yisrael nimtzeim b'Yerushalayim et ha'chag ha'matzot shivat yamim b'simcha gdola maleim l'Hashem yom b'yom v'alevim ha'konim b'klei oz l'Hashem. So you see that they made it a 7-day holiday. Pesach Sheni is only a half-day holiday. It's not a 7-day holiday. Only Pesach Rishon is a 7-day holiday. So within the Psukim here, you have plenty of stirot as to what happened here. You have it in the Chodesh Hasheni, you have them being Tmeim, but they were waiting because they were Tmeim, And in addition to that, they made it a 7-day holiday. Because of all those irreconcilable differences, you come up here with different reasons as to why Chizkiyahu was begging for forgiveness. The first of which is Rabbi Yehuda says, because they did it bituma. Then there's Rabbi Shimon who says that he made it to a leap year late. And then you have Rabbi Shimon Yehuda who says that he made Pesach Sheni when he shouldn't have made it Pesach Sheni. So now the Gemara is going to go back and dissect this braita. Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mabrim. Rabbi Yehuda says that we do make a leap year in order to deal with tuma. Alma itlei the Rabbi Yehuda tuma duchuyahi b'tzibur. That means that Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to this position of tuma duchuyah b'tzibur. This is discussion, a machloket that is discussed both in the Gemara and Pesachim as well as in the Gemara and Yoma. Over there, the Gemara discusses two views as to the position of tuma hutra b'tzibur. We have a principle that when it comes to tuma, tuma b'tzibur is hutra. As the Balei Tosafot point out over here, that's not really true. There is no absolute or blanket heter for tuma hutra b'tzibur. But in the end, the real difference or the real issue is davar shekavu alozman. If it's something that has a fixed time, it's dochet atuma. If it's something that does not have a fixed time, then it's not dochet atuma. So it doesn't matter if it's korban yachid versus a korban tzibur, but if it has a fixed time, then it's dochet atuma. If it doesn't have a fixed time, then it's not dochet atuma. So generally, the korbanot yachid don't have fixed times to them. There are a few, like the korban of Pesach, that do. And the Rambam calls the korban of Pesach something that sits between the korban yachid and the korban of the tzibur. And the most of the korbanei tzibur are kavula hemzman. And that's why the way the expression is said is it's tuma hutra b'tzibur. But over there you have two deyot as to what that means. One is that tuma b'tzibur is hutra, and the other position is tuma b'tzibur is dechuya. The difference between them is how do we view the dispensation to do these korbanot b'tuma? Do we say once we have this heter to do it b'tuma, it's hutra? It's as if there is no mitigating factor. It's as if there's no isur anymore. You just go about your business and you do it the way you like. The tuma is disregarded whatsoever. And the more tuma, the less tuma, we don't worry about any of that. We've gotten a blanket het there to deal with it. In that case, we would do nothing to try to change the circumstance or minimize the amount of tuma or the number of people that are doing it bituma. On the other hand, there's another view, which is tuma dechuya b'tzibur. Dechuya says that when you're in a bind, we allow you to do it bituma. But anything you could do to reduce the amount of tuma, anything you can do to reduce the number of people that have to do it bituma, we would encourage you to do that. So what the Gemara is concluding from here is that the fact that Rabbi Yehuda allows you to put an extra month into the calendar because of tuma shows you that he believes tuma duchuya b'tzibur. If he believed tuma hutra b'tzibur, then why should we make any adjustment in the calendar for tuma? They're tamei, it's mutar. Tuma hutra b'tzibur, it's heter legamrei. That's the case, we shouldn't have to do anything in order to change the status quo. On the other hand, if you believe tuma dechuya b'tzibur, then we would do everything in our power to try to change the circumstance that you don't have to do it bituma. And that's what the Gemara concludes over here, that Rabbi Yehuda must be of the position that tuma dechuya b'tzibur. V'atanya. But the problem is we have a braita that seems to indicate that Rabbi Yehuda's position is not that. Sits ben she'eshno amitzcho, ben she'eno amitzcho, miratzeh divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, whether the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, whether the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, it is miratzeh. Miratzeh means that it overcomes the problem, and the ritzui that it has. We learned this in the Gemarot, in Kodoshim and Zvachim, that the tzitz is miratzeh al tumat zvachim lalot b'ratzon. That the tzitz is miratzeh on korbanot that are tzmeim to be given b'ratzon on the mizbeach. So despite the problem of tumah, the tzitz helps to overcome it. Rabbi Shimon says that the tzitz works whether the Kohen Gadol is wearing it or whether he's not wearing it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Odo al mitzcho miratzeh. If he's wearing it, it works. Ein Odo al mitzcho, ein miratzeh. If it's not on his forehead, it does not work. Machloket is detailed much more in Pesachim and Yoma, where it discusses this, and it gives in much more detail why they believe that tzitz is miratzeh in these situations or not miratzeh in these situations, whether he has to be wearing it, does it only work when he's wearing it, and the meaning of the word tamid. So all of those are impactful. So then, Amalei Rabbi Shimon, Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim yochiach. He says, I'll prove it to you, because the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur only wears the four white garments. He does not wear the gold garments or the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. He doesn't wear tzitz on Yom Kippur. She'enu al mitzcho u'miratzeh. And despite that fact, if you have a korban that is brought on Yom Kippurim, that's bituma, the tzitz is miratzeh on it, even though he's not wearing it. Amloi Rav Yehuda, hanach the Yom Kippurim, she'tuma hutra b'tzibur. What are you talking about? The reason on Yom Kippur that the tuma works has nothing to do with the tzitz. It has to do with the fact that these are korbanot tzibur, that kavu lehem zman, and therefore it's tuma hutra b'tzibur. So you see over here that Rabbi Yehuda believes Tumahut Shel Tzibur. Yet based on the braita that we brought here with regards to the leap year, it sounds like he says Tumah Dechuya Tzibur. So how do you reconcile Rabbi Yehuda's position? Gemara says, L'tameich Tikshilach Higufa. If that's the case, why are you just asking about this difference between Rabbi Yehuda's position here, where he's saying it's Tumah Dechuya Tzibur, versus what he says with the tzitz, where he says it's Tumah Hutra Tzibur? What about the braita itself? Right? It says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ma'abrim. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to make it into a leap year. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maseh B'chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. And then he brings the whole incident with B'chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Shiber Tashanah Mipnei Tumah U'bikesh Rachamim Al Atzmo. And then he davened for forgiveness. So he made it into a leap year because of the Tumah. And then he asked for forgiveness. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to make it into a leap year for Tumah. So why is he asking for forgiveness? That's irreconcilable. Elochasure Mechsera. The bright is missing words. And this is what it should say. V'hochiktani. Eima Brimet Tashanah Mipnei Tumah. The Tanakhama says you're not allowed to make the year into a leap year to deal with Tumah. Vimi brua miuberet. But b'diavad, if they do make it into a leap year to deal with the Tumah, it works. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, eina miuberet. And now Rabbi Yehuda has the opposite position. He says it's not miuberet. You cannot do it. Dama Rabbi Yehuda, and then Rabbi Yehuda brings the story of Chizkiyah. So that solves our problem now, because now Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to make it into a leap year. And that's indicative of the fact that he believes Tumah Hutra b'tzibor. You don't have to do anything in order to prevent them doing the Korban HaPesach b'tumah, and that's indicative of a position of Tumah Hutra b'tzibur. So that will reconcile with his position by the tzitz. In addition, the case of Chizkiyahu HaMelech will also now make sense, which is that Chizkiyahu HaMelech is asking for forgiveness for making it into a leap year for Tumah, which Rabbi Yehuda says is improper, or you're not allowed to do. Ihachi, if that's the way you explain the Braita, what are you going to do with the latter part of the Braita? It says, Rabbi Shinomer, im ipnei Tumah ibrua miuberet. If it's because of Tumah that they made into a leap year, it works. Hainu Tanakama. Now Rabbi Shimon sounds exactly like the Tanakama. Amarov lechatchila ikabenayu. Their machloket is whether it's mutar lechatchila to do it. According to the Tanakama, it's only b'diavad that you're allowed to make it into a leap year to deal with Tumah. Rabbi Shimon believes that you can even do it lechatchila, even though he uses a language of b'diavad. Because he uses the language says that, im ipnei Tumah ibrua miuberet, which is if they did it, it works. The only reason we say that is because he's following the language of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda gives a language that says, even imibrua, it doesn't work, eina miuberet. So Rabbi Shimon just uses the opposite language, but not because he believes that it's only b'diavad, because he believes that even l'chatchila it would work. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a breita that supports that explanation. Ema brim et hashana, mipnei tumah l'chatchila. You're not allowed to make it into a leap year because of tumah l'chatchila, that's the Tanakama's position. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ma brim, you're allowed to do it even l'chatchila. So then, why was Chizkiyah then asking for forgiveness if you're allowed to put in an extra month in order to delay and deal with the Tumah issue? That's what Chizkiyah did. Because you're only allowed to make a leap year in Adar. And he instead did it in Nisan. Now, Amar, so now dealing with that part of the Braita, Sheimar Brim El Adar, V'hui Ber Nisan B'Nisan. But lately, the Chizkiyah, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, Zeh Nisan, Vein Acher Nisan. Doesn't he have the drasha that this month is Nisan and nothing else can be Nisan? Meaning that once you've already declared it Nisan, there's no backing out of it. Nisan can only be this month and no other month can be Nisan, meaning that you don't have the right once Nisan enters to make it a leap year. You're done. You're locked in once you make Nisan or Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So he says, no, Tabit de Shmuel. His mistake was in this din of Shmuel, and this is the way the Gemara in Psachim describes that Chizkiyahu did six things. Three of them, Hodulo Chachamim, the Chachamim thought positively of them. And three, Lo Hodulo Chachamim. And three, they did not agree with what he did. And one of them is this incident here, which is this din of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Eimar Brimet Hashanah, B'yom Shlishim Shel Adar. You're not allowed to make the leap year on the 30th day of Adar. Hoyo V'ra'ui L'Kov'o Nisan. Because it's a day that could be Nisan. Since the 30th day of Adar could either be the last day of Adar, if it's a Malay, or it could be the first day of Nisan, if it is a Chaser, then it has the same din as Nisan itself, which is you're not allowed to make it an Hebrew year anymore. And Chizkiyahu thought that we don't make that statement. If it's Ra'ui to be Nisan, that disqualifies it from being able to be used for a leap year. Chizkiyahu thought not like Shmuel and thought it was okay. And so therefore, afterwards, when he realized he had made a mistake about that, he asked for forgiveness. Tanya Nami Yochim, a bright that supports that understanding. Eim ma'abrim et hashana b'yom shloshim shel Adar. One is not allowed to make a leap year on the 30th day of Adar. Hoyo v'ro'oi l'kavo Nisan. because that is a day that is ra'oi to make it into Nisan, and that's the din of Shmuel. And the Gemara is suggesting, according to Rabbi Shimon, that was the mistake that Chizkiyahu Melech made, which is that he didn't follow this din of Shmuel, and he made it into a leap year on the 30th day of Nisan. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Vivenshi Siat Yisrael Asot Pesach Sheni. So the last explanation that we had was from Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon, who said that he told Bnei Yisrael to do Pesach Sheni. And again, as we saw in the Psukim, that sounds like the most simple explanation because it says that he did it B'chodesh HaSheni, with the exception of the fact that later on it says that he made a 7-day Pesach. And then they made another holiday of 7 days after that, but the fact that they made a 7-day Pesach seems to indicate it was a Pesach Rishon and not Pesach Sheni. Heichidomi, what was the case here? Meaning that even though he made it to Pesach Sheni, which seemingly should be either okay or problematic. So what happened over here that Chizkiyahu put it into Pesach Sheni and then is asking for forgiveness afterwards? If it's the fact that he pushed it off to Pesach Sheni, that would have been problematic up front, and he should have known that, which is that we have a principle, Ish Nitzchel the Pesach Sheni, a single individual is pushed off this Pesach Sheni, but the Tzibur is not pushed off, Ein Nitzchel the Pesach Sheni. The Tzibur is never pushed off the Pesach Sheni, and we do Pesach Rishon B'tumah if the Rov Tzibur are Tmeim. So then that decision should have been to make it Pesach Rishon B'tumah rather than the way to Pesach Sheni. And that should have been obvious there was a problem there. It makes sense why he was asking for forgiveness, but he also should have been aware of that and known that. So then, what was he doing? Or what mistake did he make that he pushed off the Pesach Sheni and then regretted it afterwards? So Amar Rav Ashi Gigon, Shei Yisrael Mechsa Tzmeim U'Mechsa Tehorim. Bnei Yisrael were 50% Tehor, 50% Tamei. B'Nashim Mashlimot L'Tehorim Do'Defet Alehem. And the women made it that the majority of individuals were Tehorim. So now, the women skew what is happening over here. The men are 50-50, and then the women skew it in each direction. Here the Bayit Tosfot talk about different opinions in the Gemara Pesachim as to what type of robe do you need, what happens if it's 50-50, what happens if it's more, if it's less. So he says that the Gemara over here did it in a way that would reconcile with all the opinions over there. And therefore they made it a case. But the Gemara gives an example which everybody will agree to. So mi kara savar nashim rishon chuva. This is a machloket in the Gemara Pesachim as to whether women are obligated in Pesach Rishon, or is Pesach Rishon for them only a reshut? It's an optional mitzvah. It's a mitzvah they can opt into, but it's not a chuvah, it's not an obligation. There's a similar machloket with regards to Pesach Sheni as well, with regards to women. But over here, that will make a difference with regard with Pesach Rishon as to whether they're counted with the men or not counted with the men. So originally he thought the women were obligated in Pesach Rishon, and that puts them on par with the men in terms of calculating the tzibur that needs to bring korbanot or korbanei pesach. Davi miutam tmeim umiutan mitchul pesach sheni. Because now, if you add together the 50% of men that were tohorim and the majority of women that were tohorot, you add them together, that means the majority of those that were obligated to bring korbanei pesach were tohorim. The minority were tmeim, and as we said before, you can push off a minority of individuals to pesach sheni. You cannot push off the majority of the tzibur to Pesach Sheni. But that would have been the case because the majority were Tehorim. But afterwards then, he regretted or relented on that position that women are obligated in Pesach Rishon, and he subscribed to the position that women are only reshut in Pesach Rishon. They have an option to opt in to do the mitzvah of Pesach Rishon. But if that's the case, they can't be counted towards the tzibur that needs to bring the korban of Pesach to determine the rov. Davalu tmeim ruba. Because then the tmeim become the rov, veruba lo mincha the Pesach Sheni, and the majority should not have been deferred until Pesach Sheni. Because at this point, if the women are not counted towards the Tohorim, that make it now a majority of Tohorim, then we're left with the situation of 50-50, or that the rov of the kahal, the majority of the kahal, is already at a point where it is tmeim, and you can't push that off to Pesach Sheni, because we said that Adam nitchet the Pesach Sheni, but in a tzibur, a rov a tzibur nitchet the Pesach Sheni. Rashi over here says that the 50-50 of the men was lav dafka, because in this case, the women then would have skewed things. What really happened was the men were majority tmeim, minority tohorim, and then the women who were tohorot added up to the men that were tohorot and pushed them over the 50% range. And that means that if they were chovot in Korban HaPesach, then they would have skewed it to the majority being tohor, the minority tmeim would have pushed off the Pesach Sheni for those minority that were tmeim. On the other hand, if you believe that the women are reshut, then the majority of men were tmeim, and therefore they should not have been pushed off to Pesach Sheni, and that's why he's asking for forgiveness, because he first decided to do it based on his understanding or thought that the women were obligated, And then when he figured out, or he paskin, like the one who says that the women were reshut and not obligated, then it shouldn't have pushed off the Pesach Sheni, because the majority of individuals were Tamei and Pesach Rishon, and they should have done a Pesach Bitum'ah. So Gufa, the Gemara asks over here, Amar Shmuel, Eima Brimet Hashanah B'Yom Shloshim Shel Adar. One is not allowed to make it into an Hebrew year on the 30th day of Adar. Ho'il V'ro'il L'Kovo Nisan, because it is a day that it can be made into Nisan. Ibrua Mai. If they did make it into a leap year on the 30th day of Adar, even though you're not supposed to do it, is it effective or is it not effective? So Amar Ula, Ein Mekadshin Et HaChodesh. The way to solve the problem then is to not be Mekadesh Nisan, which is basically we do nothing on the 30th day. By doing nothing on the 30th day, it remains a part of Adar. And since it remains a part of Adar, then when you made the leap year, you made the leap year in Adar. And so then the leap year remains intact. And Adar has 30 days, and you're not Mekadesh the Chodesh at all. And then only in the subsequent Chodesh will you be Mekadesh it to be Nisan. And that means that Adar Sheni automatically happens without any declaration. Again, that happens in any month where you go the full 30 days, that the 31st day automatically is Rosh Chodesh of the next month. But over here, you won't make any declaration of the next month. You just let it flow into being Adar Sheni, and only be Mekadesh the following month to be Nisan. And the leap year will work because it was on the 30th day of Adar, and it was still inside of Adar. Kidshumai. But what happens if they were Mekadesh that day to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Which is one Beit Din decided that they needed to make it a leap year. And despite the improperness of doing it this way, they declared it a leap year on the 30th day of Adar. And another Beit Din decided that that was the day to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that they had a sighting of the moon the night before, and that the 30th day was actually going to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Adar was going to be a chaser. So now you have contradictory positions going on. You have one Beit Din saying that we're making it a Yibra year, which makes it that the 30th day is really Adar. And you have another Beit Din declaring that the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and that it's really the first day of Nisan and not the 30th day of Adar. So what do you do in that case? Amar Rabba, Batela Yibur. Rabba says that Yibur can't work anymore. Since you've declared it as Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it cannot be reconciled with making it into an Yibur year now. Adding in the month would be impossible or irreconcilable with the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And therefore the Ibor falls away. Nachman Amar, Me'ubar u'Mikudash. They both work. The Me'ubar, the leap year happens, and it is Mikudash, it also is Rosh Chodesh. And so it will be Rosh Chodesh, not Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. And it will also be a leap year, because we're making it to Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, and not Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Rav Nachman allows for this seemingly irreconcilable situation to be worked out, by making the Kiddush not be Kiddush for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but a Kiddush for Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, and allows it so that the leap year does go through. Amar Rava to Rav Nachman, Rav says to Rav Nachman, how could you do this? Michtei mipurai lepischa t'latin yomin havu. The standard differential between Pesach and Purim is 30 days. Umipuraya darshina milchota Pesach. And starting in Purim, we already start the drashot and the laws of Pesach. The Tanya, because you have a bright dash, Sholim Bilchot Pesach, Kodan Pesach, Shloshim Yom. You start to discuss the issues and the laws of Pesach 30 days before Pesach. So that means that Purim, which is 30 days before Pesach, is the day that they begin discussing the Halachot. Rav Shimon Omer, Shtei Shabbatot. You do it for 2 weeks, or Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, V'chi Mati Reish Yarcha, Marchakin and Lei, then you're going to end up distancing the time from Purim until Pesach. Ate Lezuzule Bechamez. They're going to end up being less careful or dismissive of the Isur of Chametz, because they're going to think that it's a big joke. That is because they start to learn Hilchot of Pesach on Purim, so that in their minds would mean that Pesach turns out to be 30 days later. All of a sudden they tell them, yeah, you know what, it's not Pesach now. Pesach's another month off. Pesach's actually going to be 60 days from when you started learning, not 30 days. And they're going to think that that's a little bit strange. And now they're allowing them to, on what was Pesach, to eat Chametz. And then in the following month, they're saying, oh, you can't eat chametz. In subsequent years, they're going to think that Pesach, you can eat chametz on Pesach. Last year, we ate chametz on Pesach. Started learning 30 days before, and then we ate chametz on Pesach. What's this business of moving the things around and delaying it? So because of that problem, Rava says to Rav Nachman, how can you do what you're saying? It makes no sense to say that after you already made it into Nisan, in a sense, you want to now say that it is a leap year and then push out a month. You're going to run into this problem with the people's understanding of what's happening. Now, the truth is that the question that Rava asks on Rav Nachman is a question on himself, because Rava only says that you can't do it on the 30th day of Adar. But he agrees that, first of all, if they were not Mekadesh the Chodesh, that it would work b'diavad. And he also agrees that if they did it on the 29th, it would also work as a leap year. The problem that we are speaking about here starts already back from the day of Purim. Once you start learning about Hilchot Pesach, that's already indicative of an approaching Pesach in 30 days. And so now if you put a leap year any time after Purim, you're going to run into the same question that Rava is posing to Rav Nachman when he wants to, on the day that they're Mekadesh Chodesh Nisan, to make it into really a Dar Sheni and make it into a leap year. He says, well, you have that problem. You're going to have that problem in all those scenarios. And as the Baal Tosafot point out, it's not only a problem for Rav and Rav Nachman here, it's a problem for the Mishnah in Idiot. Because it says, there was testimony there. They were willing to make the leap year all the way through Adar. You can ask that same question on that opinion as well. So Rova's question is much broader than on Rav Nachman's position over here. But as implications, any time you do an Ibra year after the 15th of the month, after Purim, when they had begun to learn about Hilchot HaPesach. So the Adramo over here suggests that, according to Rava, it's not as big a problem, because they were not Mekadesh the Chodesh. Meaning that according to Rav Nachman, they did what normally would happen now, is be Mekadesh the Chodesh, and they made it into a leap year, which is something that would confuse the people. But the way that Rava describes it is that they're not going to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, and they're going to make it into a leap year. So in that case, the confusion will be less, because they weren't Mekadesh the Chodesh. And when not Mekadesh the Chodesh, people will think, oh, there's something wrong here, there's something different over here than normal. And since it's different than normal, they'll understand that this was a leap year, or that they have to investigate what's different about this year than other years. So that difference in the conduct will lead the people to then investigate and understand what the difference is. But in a situation where, like Rav Nachman's describing, you're Mekadesh the Chodesh, and you're saying it's Ibra year, and the Chodesh that you would have been Mekadesh is Nisan, it's very hard for people to reconcile with that and say, oh, this is different than normal, because it looks exactly like normal. And that's a way to maybe explain why the question that Rava poses is only on Rav Nachman and not on himself, as well as why it may not be as big an issue for the Mishnah and Idiot. So Rav Nachman says back to Rava, Amalei meida yediya, the shata me'abarta b'chushban atal yamilta. The people know that the leap year is dependent on the calculations. Amrei chushbanu delo salik lehu l'rabbanan ad hashto. And they'll say, listen, they didn't get the calculation down pat until now, or they were unable to sit down until now and do the calculation, but the people understand that the calculation is difficult, and therefore they are open or understanding about the fact that at the last minute there could be a leap year, and therefore it won't come to be mezalzel on the chametz on Pesach. Okay, we're going to stop here, three lines from the bottom of Yud Bet, Amud Bet.